I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So again, I'm pretty much around the same position. I still hold two houses, but on those two blocks where someone bought an older house and now they need to demolish and redevelop, I still can continue for another 10 to 15 years by just doing minor modifications or renovations.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tarun Sham, and in this episode, we're back with Ashish Malhotra, IT guru turned property enthusiast by passion and profession. He sees us through the locations he prefers to buy in, which is slightly different to the hustle and bustle of India. He also shares a tip to help you save up to $30,000 on your next purchase. If there's a deal to be done, you can be sure Malhotra is hot on its heels.
I was doing property as a side gig since 2017. And why? Because I was seeing so many deals and I couldn't grab every deal. And I didn't want the deals to go away or just be left alone. I started telling my friends and family that, look here, you can buy something for $360, make $30,000, $40,000 from day one. The rentals were around $330, $40, so you're getting that 5% yields too. The areas were growing and people started buying one after the other. And 17, 18, 19, 19 and 20, I started seeing a lot of distressed sales. So I'm talking mainly Victoria at the moment. That's where I started my journey from. And that's while I was staying in NSW, which was a bit costly. I've done few purchases in NSW, but I think when I was doing it as a side gig, my major focus was Victoria. So I found an opportunity for a client come friend of mine. She was contracting, single earner, no family. I thought it would have been the best. I found a lot distressed at that time. Someone booked this property back in March 2018. That's when I started targeting that Bellarine Peninsula as an area. Now, in 2020 February, someone wanted to sell the land at the same price. So in Victoria, you can sell it before the titles and just not pay stamp duty as well, because you've not made anything on it. So this lady, she wanted to sell the land and I offered it to a client of mine. It was a 322 square meter block for $170,000. The market value was around $220,000, right? And I was amazed to see this deal. And I told her, look, it's 400 meters to the jetty. I think you're making $50,000, 30% on the land alone. And there was further money to be made after the building just by adding the right product to it. Just when she had to sign, she got cold feet and she backed out. And I was talking to my wife and I said, I don't think we should let this deal go. So this was my number five. So aha moment. Now I'll tell you the aha moment, which is on the market, right? So I bought the land for 170. I got the valuation from NAB for 210 and I borrowed 90% of it. So the bank also paid me for the stamp duty on the land. Now, on top, no money down. I did construction. I think my end costing, I bumped up the specs in the construction because it's a coastal area. I finished everything for 420, including interest and all other costs, maybe 450, right? So hardly 450. It's on the market for 650 to 670 now. That's my aha moment.
That is phenomenal. So literally no money down when you think about it, and you made that much. And are you holding that property now for long term and you've got a tenant in there?
It's brand new. I'm just getting the landscaping done, just bumping up again the specs in landscaping. the agent thinks I should be able to get around 650 to 670 on it. I think I'll sell it and just take some money out now. I think this, and put it somewhere else.
Yeah, because of the market being so hot as it is now.
But then again, Tyron, I think what we need to see is even now, if I have to rent it, it'll rent out for 440 a week. So it still is 5.5% yield if I want to hold. And this is an awesome buy and hold. You don't get to buy near water. It's crazy.
It is. For that kind of price, whereabouts is this in Victoria?
There are two peninsulas there, Bellarine Peninsula and Mornington Peninsula. So this is, yeah. So just across Mornington is Bellarine. And I've gotten so many clients and friends in there who've made more than $200,000, about five, six of them. They've made $200,000 between 2018 and now. And I think that's just because, again, my mentor come investor, kind enough, he himself owns God knows how many there. But yeah, so these suburbs are Curlewis, Drysdale, Ocean Grove was one of the premium suburbs in that market. And you could have just made $250,000-$300,000 by buying in those premium areas. So the same has happened to Central Coast here, right? So you can be in those lakeside suburbs, go a bit further out in Central Coast. And markets have been, I think, very generous in last 5-6 years to every investor that have been there.
Although the country is quickly embracing the work from home life, Malhotra isn't as keen to head for the hills.
And that's where I'm sometimes hesitant, right? So people are going 3, 4, 5 hours outside the main capital cities and buying there. Of course, everything's growing at this moment. It looks like we are in the middle of a national boom, which happened around 15, 20 years back last. But once these areas will grow by 15, 20%, and I'm thinking, then what?
Yeah, well, that's usually when things go up, things have to come back down.
Exactly. So what goes up comes down. So yeah, I think that's why I, as an investor and even as a buyer's agent, I like to stick to in the surrounds of capital cities. And that's why I pretty much take the entire chunk of state and I start to research where the rentals are more, how the demographics are different, because the demographics make a lot of difference between the rental that you get and between the value that you get in a suburb.
He delves into how he ended up on the path that leads to development rather than the fully paved streets of established properties.
I have a bit of a different thought here, and I strongly believe, again, no right or wrong, different strategies work in different ways for people. I've found getting a small lot and getting a decent house on it might work wonders, because when people buy bigger lots for subdivisions, they are not doing subdivisions immediately, right? As a developer, if you have to do everything in a year or year and a half, take your money, run away, that's what development is. But what as individual investors people do is everyone thinks the land will grow in value. Yes, definitely. But between buying a 400 square meter lot and 600 square meter lot, in some markets there's a difference of $30,000 to $50,000. So if we assume that at 6% growth rate or 7% growth rate, market will double in 10 to 12 years time, that additional $50,000 might be just $100,000, because you're still getting double in value, right? Rather than spending that $50,000 in additional land, you hold on to it, you save your borrowing, you don't pay additional, you don't pay holding costs, you pay less land taxes, and you have capitalized between the asset that you're putting on that lot and by not over capitalizing on that lot, right? And we have seen, being Sydney-siders, the smaller the lot, the costlier per square meter it is, right? So in holding, then when you subdivide or you develop at the end of 10 years, you pay for demolition, you pay for subdivisions, you pay for clearing the lands. If there's major slope, you pay in site costs, and then you build two houses, right? If that would have been the scenario, I would rather buy one house now and another in 3 to 4 years time with the money that I've saved. So again, I'm pretty much around the same position. I still hold two houses, but on those two blocks where someone bought an older house and now they need to demolish and redevelop, I still can continue for another 10 to 15 years by just doing minor modifications or renovations.
His philosophy is, why spend on a house with a shorter lifespan when you could build a fresh one?
A lot of people confuse it with house and land packages. I do not advertise that. Neither I sell that, nor I recommend that. I'm simply saying, you buy a piece of land, you put the best asset on it in the most reasonable way possible. Just by doing that, you can save $25,000 to $30,000 at any day in any market. Right now, when you're looking at 350 to 400k houses, this turns out to be what, 5-6% savings. Can you otherwise buy it from the market undervalue 5-6%? It's really difficult in tighter markets. I can give examples with numbers with a current deal in the same street that I'm looking at for two different types of investors. So one investor in SM who wants to buy an SMSF. I know they cannot redevelop. I know they cannot do renovations because the SMSF doesn't support that. Again, I'm not a licensed advisor. They have to go to an SMSF, ASIC licensed advisor, but I know based on from my experience, right? So a 350 square meter lot, a brand new home, is available for $420,000, renting out for $400 a week. Continue with as long as possible for next 30, 35 years. Now I'm talking about growth markets, Tyron. So when I say growth markets, everything takes supply side, demand side, and affordability side. Alternatively, in the same street, it's a 650 square meter block, a 1970s built house, still well managed and maintained. You are buying the same similar property for $332,000 with a house on it. Subdividable blocks. The same street also has a subdivision.
To Malhotra, both products are equal.
You need to work out if you assume, or as an investor, I assume both the lands will go in double in value in 10 years' time. In one asset, I've paid more on the quality of the house that is built, and I can sustain it longer. Alternatively, in the other one, I have paid more on the land because eventually I want to develop, but even that is not costing you to hold because this 330k property will rent out for 340 a week, right? But if you bought under SMSF, what will you do then? You have to sell it and then you have to cover the costs and all of those because you can't do developments under that. So maybe to an individual investor, that might make sense. But then you need to have a risk appetite of buying an older house because off and on, there could be some expenses that might be levied on you. So can you invest that time? Everything invests time. Even if you have six properties, you're not working, everything's paid out, you're still spending 3-4 hours a week. That's how 4-hour work week came into being, right? So with work, how much time can you spend? What type of investor are you? Young family? Maybe spending time with tenants and with properties might not suit you. Are you a high net worth investor? If you're getting $300,000-$400,000, why would you buy cheap assets? You buy quality homes then, right? So I think it's just, there's no right or wrong. It's just situation.
We all know time is money. So how does time factor into his strategy?
I just was approached by an investor friend of mine. He was really struggling looking at Marston Park, Edmondson Park, buying those small 270, 280 square meter lots, even 240, getting sold for 750 to 780.
Yep, very expensive right now. It's crazy.
Came to me, he said, I just want growth in next 5-6 years and I just want to move out. So this is, I'm talking 2019, early 2019. So, and I had to ask him, like, are you planning to stay in the home? Then definitely you should have a decent home. I said, no, I would still like to stay somewhere on Parramatta. And I just gave him an option, Tyron, and say, we bought land. We waited, we paid 10% on it. We waited 6 months for the land to title. At that time, it was 240. And he paid $24,000 and just waited. Again, this is one example which was that I was doing from my side gig. At this point, I'm majorly targeting established. But established also, you have a balance, right? Now, by doing this, we built a house, we put a home on it for 240. And I've been building with the same builder. So it's pretty much like giving them the same builder. If I'm charging a client, I don't keep anything anywhere anyways. So whatever costs, 240, fully complete, 22 square home, 480 all done. The cost that you have to factor in is one, the stamp duty on the land. The second, holding costs. And you can't delay things. You'll be out of pocket by nearly $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 by the time you realize you've lost nearly 4-6 weeks or 4 months. That's rental loss as well, right?
Coming up after the break, Malhotra shares his simplification technique.
I've got a real learning of these numbers, and that's why I love a kiss. Don't get me wrong, just keep it simple, silly.
The chance encounter he had at an IT convention that led him to where he is today.
After the training, I just happened to talk to him and I said, "Would you care for a drink? I see you were on real estate all day and what you're doing." And he said, "Oh, I'm an investor. I hold XYZ property."
He explains how he got into the mindset of a buyer's agent.
I've worked with my investor as well. He was, he also does pretty similar stuff, but I think then I had to just part ways because I wanted to act purely on behalf of the buyer.
And that's next. I'm Tarun Shum and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, let's be real. Deals that can yield 20 to 30% per annum do exist. Don't believe me? Well, here's a story about property development I invested in Victoria. This developer had the project fully funded beforehand, but he and his family suffered a loss, a circumstance that led him to be unable to proceed with the development. So I stepped in, and in 2 weeks, we funded the shortfall, allowing for the development to continue. 5 months later, the development was refinanced and we received our funds back with interest. Yes, there are amazing opportunities in the property market like this one. So, do you want to get a better return with lower risk on your money? Then register your interest by visiting propertyinvestory.com. What drew him to this market was the low cost point, which covered the expenses.
Whatever you are paying on a brand new home is covered. If someone has built it, you are paying not 480, but 550 for it. But he's recently sold that property and I just got a thank you gift. He sold it for 675.
So he must be happy with that. Yes.
Yes. And now same property. If I talk, I can still get the land for 300. I have to wait for a year for the land to title, and I'll spend another 270 to 280 in this market for new build. But new build is a struggle. If you go into it, it's not anyone's appetite at this moment, looking at the way things are going. But having said that, you can still build that property for 580. Would you do that for $90,000 from day one, which covers your first time costs? That's the question. So not just that, this brand new property, which you're building for 570 or 580, it'll rent out for 500 a week. Right, so 4.5% yield on a brand new property with 10-12% equity. I've got a real learning of these numbers, and that's why I love a kiss. Don't get me wrong, just keep it simple, silly. So just even if you are looking at two assets, you work out the way what the market will cost you in subdividing. So if it is costing you 450, 460 now, and you can buy next door house brand new and half the size lot for 420, I think that there is a bit of savings there. And when you see the growth, it has to be differential. You pay for the quality of the house, you pay for the age of the house and the footprint of the house, and you pay for the type of land and the look on the location that you hold. And that's where the valuation techniques comes in, because that's where a successful valuer, when I'm doing valuations, I do not look at CoLogix. I do not look at any other website. I just look at sold properties and what's currently on the market, what's asking and what's being sold. Even in growing markets, between when the property actually gets sold and it's listed as sold, there's a gap of 3 to 5 weeks. Right? So the markets may run here and there between that time also.
Initially, he started so he could generate a decent income, but that income has now supported him to follow his passion.
This passion will fuel my financial freedom and passive income strategy. That's what I'm teaching, and that's where the mindset comes in. I read a lot of books. I've read more books than in Australia in last 7 years than what I've read my entire life in India. So I've now have memberships of Audible and all of that. So every 5-15 days, I'm completing a book. So all in all, I think I am a big fan of Mr. Robert Kiyosaki. My first book was Building Wealth Through Investment Properties by Jan Somers. And that's where I'm building finances. I'm building income streams, or pretty much everything on investment principles. I've diligently followed everything. My why is I'm able to give when I want to give to whoever I want to give. So when I say giving, when I'm talking to people who are asking for donations of funds and I have to support someone, I don't have to think twice about it. So I'm always available. The second, I think I have to give a bit of a base or a cushion to my boys who are growing up, so then they can follow their passions from day one and they don't have to get a midlife crisis where they're changing again jobs thinking, oh, my passion has changed, which may, but I went into job because I wanted to earn, not because I was passionate about it. So I want my boys to find a passion and follow the passion.
He has a wealth of stories to share. This one involves a chance encounter with a stranger who ended up becoming his mentor.
I was in an IT training, right? It's called ITIL. Information technology, infrastructure library. And there was an investor besides me. I'm saying investor, but someone not doing the training, searching on real estate. And I, out of my curiosity, and I said, what is this guy doing? And I was just peeping, what suburbs he's searching and all that. And after the training, I just happened to talk to him and I said, would you care for a drink? I see you were on real estate all day and what you're doing. And he said, oh, I'm an investor. I hold XYZ properties. And I was amazed suddenly coming here, listening to someone who has a little over, I don't know, 1.5 dozen properties. So, and I said, what, how, why? Like, and that's what my start was. So a bit of a direction is all that I needed. I was already pumped up. And that's how I started reading magazines. I follow blogs, forums. Somerset is one. If you've heard, I think that's the Soma Couples, yes. And now it's improvised. It's bought by someone and now it runs by the name propertychat.com.au. I'm a very active poster. I'm a very active reader. And I've pretty much put my entire property journey there. So I'm a big believer of educating as well. What I know, and if people can get benefited, because that's how I've learned. I've worked with my investor as well. He was, he also does pretty similar stuff. But I think then I had to just part ways because I wanted to act purely on behalf of the buyer. And if I'm taking money from someone else in this entire journey, I don't think I can tell them that I'm purely thinking in your best interests. That's when I felt, and this was again coming from a mentor. That's when I felt, he said, Ashish, if you want to act on behalf of a buyer, become a buyer's agent. There's no other way of doing it. So, and that's how I got into the mind of becoming a buyer's agent. But just to cut long story short, I think I'm very thankful, rather grateful to him for all the learnings that I've got, for the indications, for the small tips and tricks. And same concepts, all investment concepts are similar. Read books, educate yourself. But yeah, I've taken three, four years to actually get into the right mindset.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad has earned itself the unofficial title of the Investor's Bible. But Malhotra has another Kiyosaki book to recommend.
I definitely recommend some books there. The blogs are always there, but you have to just cut the noise from the actual knowledge. So I think that's where books are pretty handy. You have to have that patience. One is Barefoot Investor by Scott Pepp. I really like that book. A book on finances, I would say The Richest Man of Babylon. That's what sorts your finances, where you actually start to understand that investing is not important. Having what I already have and saving it is also equally important. Then Rich Dad, Poor Dad, again, a very common book, but I'd recommend the second book of this series, which is The Cashflow Quadrant, which is important for any business owner and investor. That's pretty much. And then one book again, which I read for properties, starting with the basics or starting on average incomes, which is Building Wealth Through Investment Properties by Jan Somers.
The best advice he's received so far may sound a bit out of left field, but stick around. It all leads to property.
I can relate it with when we were having a younger one, the gynecologist we were dealing with, she said, don't listen to anyone else, because everyone who has a kid or everyone who has a child thinks they're a doctor. The same thing comes when it comes to property. Everyone who's bought, look, in last 6-7 years, anyone who's bought one or two properties, of course they've done well, by all means. It's always a journey and a comfort. But then you end up taking advice from people who have that limited knowledge of not even one strategy in as a whole. I think that's, you're not doing justice to your finances or your risk appetite or your abilities. So when it comes to advice, you minimize the noise and choose to listen to people who achieved what you want to achieve. And that is the only advice that I follow, because the advice is free, of course, but it'll come at a cost to someone who's taking it. So I think that's what I have diligently followed, and that's what I would definitely tell people.
If you met yourself, say, 10 years ago, what do you think you would have said to him?
Get educated, start early, start small, but be consistent and persistent. So I might have been inconsistent sometimes, but I'm very persistent. I wake up early mornings. I sometimes wake up late, but I try to get up early because, again, coming from a book, I think it's an amazing time when you're early in the morning, you're doing a little bit of exercise. So you have to give time to health as well equally. I go for weekly runs, 2-3 days at least. I get to do some exercise also. But I think one is just being persistent in what you like. Again, it's something that I like, really, right? So the consistency and persistency are two, really, they have to go hand in hand. So one defines your way of doing things and the other defines your attitude. And I think if I have to pick one, attitude or persistence is more important.
Yeah, I agree. That's fantastic. Let's look forward to the future. What are you most excited about in your property journey in the next, say, 5 years?
I started keeping things simple. I think I'd love to explore some of the developments, considering I'm now looking at development sites, feasibilities. I talk a lot of numbers. I'd like to do some practical, hands-on as well. So I'm working on a deal whereby, which is a big deal. I have to get with a couple of investors, but I think it's still a bit of off the plan sort of thing, but now in commercial warehousing. So I would look into moving into development on personal front and business front. I'd like to keep a consistent pace, advising the investors on what the best strategy is suited based on their circumstances. If they should be buying commercials or residential. If they'd be buying, they should be buying a home versus investment. A lot of people ask that. And I think I just like to keep myself abreast of all changes that are happening. I keep learning as an investor and keep moving ahead.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. Excellent. Ashish, you've achieved a lot in a short period of time, and you know, you've built up and established a lot of great networks and connections, and you know, you've got a fantastic mentor. How much of this success that you've achieved is due to your intelligence, hard work, and skill? And how much of it do you think is because of luck?
It's good you asked that. During my first 3-4 years, I kept telling everyone who I dealt with, I might have been lucky. I might have been lucky. Then I was reading in a book, if it happens once, it's luck. If you're consistently doing it, it's not luck. And that's where it made me realize, definitely, I think I have that eye of spotting the deals or differentiating one deal from the other. So I'd say about 80% to skill and hard work, maybe 20% luck. I cannot just ignore luck.
Thank you to Ashish Malhotra, our guest on this episode of Property Investory. If you love the show, perhaps you're now ready to invest your money in a low-risk, high-return deal. If you are, then SMS me your name and email address on 0499881040 to become a lender. There are amazing opportunities in the property market right now, and I'm looking for lenders who want to invest their money for as short as 6 months. What are you waiting for? Don't let your money just sit in the bank. To register your interest, text me your name and email address on 0499881040.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.